You may be seated. And as you're seated, would you turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, to chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 18 through 25 of this book. This last week, we got a thank you note in the mail from First Baptist Church in Cottage Hills, thanking us for all those who provided food and helped with the cleanup afterwards for almost an hour for Kathy Pruitt's father's funeral that they had at their church. It was an older church and an older congregation, and they wanted to thank us. I pass that along to you because that's important for us to recognize that they presented that thank you note. But it's interesting that we don't really live in a culture that does thank you notes anymore. Just think of the last time you may have got a thank you note, or the last time that you wrote a thank you note, or the last time you heard or said to somebody in this church, "I am so thankful that God brought you into my life. I am so thankful that you are part of our church family. I am so thankful for your gifts and your talents, the ways that God is glorifying himself in you." When's the last time you said to your neighbor, "I'm so thankful that you are a good neighbor"? Jack and I went up to Illinois State University for a campus visit, and I took him to our old neighborhood. And our neighbor across the street, Charlotte, 90 years old, lives there. And we went in to visit her, and my heart just exploded with thanksgiving. This lady and her husband lived across the street for us for that 3 or 4 years we lived, and we had a profound bond. If our curtains were not open at a certain time, we were going to get a call from Charlotte. Not because she was snooping. "Are you okay? Is everything okay?" Our friendship and our bond was just so great. I'm so thankful to see her at 90 years old. Imagine for just a moment if every time you went to talk about somebody to another person, which we might call gossip, but that may not also be gossip. But let's say even in the gossiping way. What if you started that conversation making a list and saying to that person all the things you were thankful for about the person you're just about to talk about? That would change your conversation, wouldn't it? If you had to start your conversation with, "Here's all the things I'm thankful for about this person that I'm just about to gossip about," it would transform that conversation. Please and thank you are the first lessons we learn as little kids. You can hear it right now in your mother's voice. What do you say? Thank you. But in some ways, it's more than just basic manners in a polite society. Thanksgiving, according to this passage, is a vital part of spiritual growth for the believer in Christ Jesus. It is also, in the same way, a vital cog that we will see in the spiritual decline of people as well. A lack of thanksgiving creates a spiritual decline. And what we do in thanking people is a good indication of whether we are thankful to God. Because if we're people who are thankful to God, it's going to come out in our thanksgiving to people. But if this is lacking, this is probably lacking just as much. So read with me, if you would, the scriptures from Romans chapter 1. Hear the word of God. "For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness have suppressed the truth. For what is known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that he has made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to the lusts in their heart, to the impurities, to dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, would you now grant your blessing to us as we go into this text and understand it more fully. Father, would you open the eyes of our hearts to know you in deeper, richer, and fuller ways, to recognize those areas that have been robbed from our lives that are vital to our spiritual growth. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. A common question on the hearts of many concerned people in the world today is, how do we get here? How do we get to this place in our nation? How do we get to this place in our world? How do we get to this place in our culture, in our society? I read an article that University of Buffalo, the students at University of Buffalo this week are petitioning their university to abolish Thanksgiving. And they're doing it for political means and purposes, because it has connections with or all of those realities. But for decades now, Thanksgiving has been in decline. It is the unknown holiday. But is Thanksgiving actually a holiday, or is it actually a state of our heart? We've made Thanksgiving into Turkey Day, gorging ourselves and planning for Black Friday. That's what Thanksgiving has become, because it's not a condition of our heart. And yet President Lincoln set it aside as a day of humbling ourselves and giving thanks to God at the end of the Civil War. And in Romans 1, we see this spiral, if we read the whole chapter, a spiral into decline and decay. Paul kind of repeats that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where he says this, and notice some of the commonalities. But understand this, that in the last days there will be times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having an appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. And here in the midst of this passage in Romans and this passage in 2 Timothy is ungrateful and unthankful. And there's something to be said that in the center of these verses in Romans is this verse 21 that speaks about this spiritual decline of people. Notice three things in verse 21 that I want us to focus on, and then we're going to reverse it. This decline begins, it says, that they did not know God, though they could have known God. Now, this knowing is not an intimacy with God, meaning it's not a salvation reality of knowing God as you and I, as believers in Christ, know God through the Lord Jesus Christ in an intimate manner. This is knowledge about God. And we see that, if you would, in the preceding verses. Verses 19 through 20, if you would, chapter 1. Look with me, if you would. I thought it was going to come up, but it's not. And I forgot to turn to it. Verses 19 through 20. For what can be known about God is plain to them. Why? Because God has shown it to them. And now here's the attributes of God. For the invisible attributes, namely the eternal power, the divine nature, have been clearly perceived. Where have they been perceived? Ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. And Paul turns and he says to the followers of Christ in Rome, he says, this is at least an acknowledgement, a basic acknowledgement that there is a God. But what has happened is that they have suppressed the truth about God. And they no longer acknowledge that there is a God. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. And it speaks about the speech that goes forth from creation declaring God's glory. And you'll know that in Scripture, there is different types of revelation. There's progressive revelation. Creation is the first part of that revelation. The scriptures and the law is the second part where we see the moral character of God, his holiness. And the third revelation is his heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. But these have denied the very basic reality of who God is by denying him. And what's the result? Verse 21b, they became futile in their thinking. They did not think to acknowledge God. They did not know God, though God made it plain to them, and they became futile in their thinking. They claimed to be wise, verse 22, but instead of being wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made of men, animals, and creeping things. And notice this progression from those that will not even acknowledge the presence of God. What ends up happening is their mind, their thinking becomes futile. Why? Because they've taken God off of his throne in their life. And who's in charge? I am. Me, I am the determiner of good and evil now. And all of a sudden, my thinking, the way I view life, the prism through which I see every reality, be it morality or be it truth or be it any number of other things, is now through my own lens, and my thinking becomes futile. And then verse 28 that we did not read goes on to say this, so if you have your Bibles, please look in there. Since they did not see it fit to acknowledge God, basic, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. So they didn't even acknowledge God. The second thing is, they did not honor God, meaning they did not place God in an exalted position. They did not honor him as God. They claimed to be wise, and yet they become fools. They, in their knowledge, supplanted God with their own knowledge. In the 1970s, Time magazine had an article which had on its cover the question, "Is God dead?" Meaning, have we evolved beyond the reality that we no longer need this understanding of God? Our scientific endeavors, our ability to know and to see into all aspects of creation, instead of leading us into the greater complexity of thanksgiving to God, have actually taken us away from God, and we now are the masters of our own destiny. The scriptures tell us knowledge puffs up, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And where God is not present, there is a lack of wisdom. We can call ourselves wise, but in our actions and our attitudes, we are actually becoming fools, because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And the honor that belongs to God is given to man. And the more man knows, the more it seems he dismisses God. And notice the results. Therefore, verse 22, therefore God gave them up to the lusts of their heart and to impurity. Verse 26, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. What replaced now thinking is feeling. And what feels good, right? Those of you from the 60s and 70s who can still remember, feels good, baby, do it. If it feels good, baby, do it. That is the mantra, not only of the 60s, it is a mantra of today. We are governed more by our feelings than we are by truth. And the truth of God is no longer present. And our feelings have taken over. And now we feel our way through this world blindly, because we lack truth. Why? Because we haven't honored God. And so notice what happens. God gives us up to our feelings. It goes from a debased mind to our passions. And our passion no longer is the glory of God, sola de gloria. But now it's the desire of man. And the third thing is, there's a failure to give thanks. They don't acknowledge God. They don't honor him. It only goes to say that, why would they give thanks to him? If you don't acknowledge and you don't honor, what's the big deal about giving thanks? Why? Because I make my own. I buy my own groceries. I got my own job. I drive my car. I don't have to be thanksgiving to give thanks to God, because I know where everything comes from. Until we don't. They don't give thanks to God. And notice what happens. It's led to idolatry. Verse 23, because they did not give thanks, they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images of animals, men, animals, and creeping things. It's interesting, when you don't give thanks and you exchange the glory. What's the glory of God? It's interesting that the glory of God is not just the glory of God that we know from Scripture and from creation, but there's a glory within us. Why? Because men and women are created in the image of God, and therefore we bear glory in ourselves. And when we do not honor God and glorify him or give thanks to him, we also give up the glory in which you and I are created in his image. And when we give up the glory of God, of the image of God in which we are created, we begin to act like animals. we begin to act and behave as animals. Because God is not glorified, therefore his image in me is not glorified, and therefore I can use and abuse you in any way I so desire, because his image in you is no longer glorified. You want to talk about the sex trade biggest in America? The sex trafficking that's going on? The abuse? Horrible. How did we get here? We did not acknowledge, we did not honor, and we did not give thanks, and we exchanged the image of God. So how do we regain this? What does it mean for you and I? Brothers and sisters, thanksgiving, giving thanks to God, being thankful for one another, giving thanks for all that we have is vital, according to this passage, to our spiritual growth. We've seen it in spiritual decline, the lack therein. So how does it help our spiritual growth? Let's go backwards now through this passage. What does giving thanks actually do? Giving thanks leads to honoring God. Why? Because giving thanks guards us from idolatry. What it actually does is, it says, God, you are God, and I am not. And the breath that I just took a second ago was a gift from you. And you can take it away, and you can give it. And I am so dependent on you. God, you are God, and I am not. And everything that I have, no matter where it came from, actually comes from you. It is a gift of yours. And it keeps me from idolatry. What idolatry is I begin to hug the gift and ignore the giver. The gift becomes God for me. My house, my car, my family is now the top tier thing. And when we acknowledge and honor God by giving thanks, what we're actually saying is, God, you are God and I am not. God, you're the provider of everything that I have and I am not. God, you have given it to me in your grace and mercy and in providence. You have blessed me, you've encouraged me, you have given me good, and you've met me in bad. All is from your hand. It guards us from idolatry to acknowledge God as creator and we his creatures. It acknowledges that God has created us in his image and that he has given us everything as a gift and to be good stewards over it. The Apostle James writes in his book that all good gifts come from the God of lights, our Heavenly Father. And so giving thanks leads to honoring God. When I begin to recognize in thanksgiving the gifts of God, his grace, his mercy, his love, how tender he's been with me, how specific his gifts have been to me, and how thankful I am for each and every gift in my life, people, things, whatever it may be, time, work, all of it is a gift. When I begin to recognize that, then I recognize that those things, I need to take them off the top shelf and I need to put God there and I need to honor him and lower those. And in that, I learn to live in contentment. And giving thanks then goes from giving thanks because I begin to honor God with my mouth as I give him thanks. I begin to know him. But it's not just knowledge. It's not just knowing about the Creator by looking at the stars. It is knowing him in intimacy. I can tell you how profoundly thankful I am to God for the saint that is my wife. You should be thankful that she's my wife and you're not. Because God called her to suffer in that way and not you. But I can tell you, it's actually impossible for me to tell you how thankful I am for that. How God chose her. God picked her out. And God made our lives together. I'm so thankful for that reality. Why? Because in the intimacy of my knowing God, God knew me. He knows what I need. He knows every desire of my heart. He knows those things that I need to repent of. He knows how to discipline me. He knows how to give me good gifts. He knows how to take things away. He knows when to do it and when not to do it. And all of a sudden, within that reality, I recognize and realize God knows me. And he is so good to me, even when it's painful in this broken and sinful world. God is mine, and I am his. And all of a sudden, because I recognize of the things and the people, and I give thanks up here, they become in their proper place, a place of offering him worship and praise. And all of a sudden, my heart begins to awaken in this understanding of knowing God through the little things that are little compared to him. And all of a sudden, my heart begins to explode. Why? Because Thanksgiving has put things in their proper place. And instead of spiraling downward into this being given over to, God spirals us upward in more and more worship. So that what begins to happen is it becomes cyclical, doesn't it? That as we begin to give thanks in the small things and we acknowledge God and we say to him, "This, even this is yours," and all of a sudden it's not working. Well, it's from you, God. What do you want me to do with it? We begin to honor him by thanking him. And then we acknowledge that he is God and we know him and he knows us. And then we go back again, and we go back again, and all of a sudden there's this upward spiral into a deeper, richer, fuller understanding of God, his grace, his love, his sacrifice, his providing. And we begin to be people who stop worrying more and giving thanks. We stop being anxious and we begin to live in contentment. We begin to stop grumbling and fighting with each other. And instead we say, "Thank you. I am so grateful for you. What God has done in my life through you." And all of a sudden our lives are transformed into a place where God is known, honored, and given thanks. Let's pray. Father, as we hear a sermon like this from this text, we recognize and realize how precariously close we often are to a decline. And sometimes we find ourselves, maybe we find ourselves in decline today. And yet we can ride our ship today through thanksgiving, honor, and knowing. Father, would you make us a people who are truly, truly, truly thankful. And may that thanksgiving, that honor and that knowing, curb our appetites. For some of us, we need that to live in contentment. to heal our relationships, to keep us from grumbling and complaining, to make us people who live in contentment in what we have instead of covetousness in what we do not. And then help us to get on with the work that you've called us to of blessing. Because we sit in your hands, full of good gifts, with a God who knows us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.